That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay the prices high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive, don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel
is gonna roll around once more when it does.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more when it does.
It will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning to the remnant, and good morning to you, Lord Jesus. And good morning to the men. This is Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We thank you for joining us here. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
And again, good morning to the Holy Spirit, and good morning to you, the remnant, and the program, Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we are coming to you live from a rainy radio ranch. It is raining today, which is, I mention that because that is kind of an oddity. We don't get a lot of rain here. But we'll sure go with it. We'll sure go with it, and we'll thank the Lord for it. So, well, John, I did get your text. Jason, would you open us up in prayer? We had talked earlier for John, but...
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you, and we ask for your blessing upon this. This morning, Father, we ask your blessing upon this program as we go out over the airways. We just pray that you guide us and direct us, Father, in all that we do, that you strengthen us, Father, that we, the remnant, gather together across the radio waves, Father. We come before you, and we just ask for your blessing upon us. We ask that you forgive us of our sins as we beseech your face. And, Father, we pray for this nation, and we pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, power and authority over the forces that come against us. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, that you strengthen us, that you encourage us, that you just make our path straight, and we pray that you just allow us to be a blessing and to other people. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray, amen.
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 Amen. Well, there's plenty going on current event-wise. I do encourage you folks to continue to pray for the leaders of our nation. We're told several times throughout the Bible to do that, to pray for the city that you're in, that you would do well, to pray for kings. And we don't really have kings here in we have the King of Kings. We certainly can pray to him, but we are told to pray for our leaders. And we encourage you to be doing that. If you're reading the Bible reading plan, you're wrapping up the first little bit of Isaiah today. And the Isaiah 34 to 39 is interesting because it introduces us. You hear about Hezekiah there and Hezekiah's prayer. And an interesting thing there we've talked about before. We've put the quote on the scripture on the Healing Scriptures Bible bookmark. And it's Hezekiah. If you see in Hezekiah that he seeks the prophet's help, he goes to Isaiah. He prays to God. And when he prays to God, if you read it there in Hezekiah 37, 14, 15, 16, it's a prayer of praise. He is praising God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. And that's the way this king at that time prayed. And you can read through it, and then the way that God works, mysterious sometimes, but in Hezekiah 38, it says Hezekiah became mortally ill, and Isaiah came to him and said, "You're going to die. Get your house in order." But Hezekiah didn't just close out his days there. It says he prayed. He turned his face to the wall and he prayed to the Lord. And the Lord healed him and gave him 15 more years. The scriptures are there for us to be able to learn from, to read, to believe, and to learn from. And I just think it's interesting that this is what we're reading right now. We have seen things like that happen where people have been mortally ill and they've prayed and that has changed. That being mortally ill, that deathly disease that people have had, that it has been stayed, it has been done away with. Now, it's still appointed once for a man to die. But I just think it is an interesting, it's an interesting story. It should be an encouragement to us today. We see that here was this king that embraced the prophet of God, that did that which was right in God's eyes. And when you read this in verse 2, Hezekiah says, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight." And there was strength in that prayer, in Hezekiah being able to know that he wasn't perfect, but that he had done his job. He had done what God had called him to do, had commanded him to do, and he was able to have another 15 years of healing from God. Anyway, part of our Bible reading plan, reading through this Isaiah, has sure been it's sure been a blessing to me this past week. We hope that you've been reading your Bible, have talked to people this week. That I've had a couple of people have said that this year they've made a commitment to do this very thing, to read through their Bible this year, and using this Bible reading plan. So we've sent hundreds out. We've reprinted them up. We still have them here at the ministry office if you'd like to have it, if you'd like to pass some out. It's still early in the calendar year. And anyway, just wanted to encourage you.
And we have a generic one, too, that we'll be happy to send you as well if you're concerned about having Scriptures for America tied to it. Sometimes it's better to try to reach people with just the biblical truth before we try to reach them with some of the truths that we've been given. And we did print some up without any reference to Scriptures for America. So all it is a Bible reading plan. No one can say that it's anything other than that.
Yes.
And it's just trying to get the profound Word of God out. So those are available as well.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I have an encouraging scripture along those lines. You know, the Bible says that in the last days, knowledge would increase, and reading Daniel 12, 3 through 4, and from the Amplified, it says, and the teachers and those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, to uprightness, and to right standing with God, shall give forth light like the stars forever and ever. But you, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Then many shall run to and fro and search anxiously through the book and knowledge of God's purposes as revealed by his prophets shall be increased and become great. So the prophecy is increased and knowledge is tied to the teachers in the end time to give forth God's revealed truth like light in a dark place. Well, that dark place is really the Judeo-Christian churches today. And there are people that are running to and fro and they're looking for knowledge. And we have an opportunity, I think, like never before, to reach them with the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, as well as many of the truths that we've been blessed to learn over the last 20, 30 years.
Yes.
So that's what's encouraging to me. And, you know, just like you said, the Bible is the living word. And as long as you're willing to put in the time to continue to search, God will continue to reveal. And that's what's so neat about it, I think, is we may have read Isaiah 2, 3, 4 times. I don't know how many times in our lifetime, but every time there's something new. God will reveal something else to you.
Amen.
Something that you didn't see the time before, or to someone else. And iron sharpens iron, just as one man should sharpen another man. You know, all of these things are promises from God. All we have to do is be obedient. And the other thing I think I've realized more than ever before is you're either going to be filled with the spirit of the world or you're going to be filled with the spirit of the Lord. And you can't be filled with the spirit of the Lord unless you're in the Word.
Amen to that. You know, if you read any type of writings, I'm reading a book now. It's called Disciplines of a Godly Man, and it speaks in there of that very thing, John. It reminds us that we can be successful in the world. You can't be successful in the world if you don't get involved in the world. If you want to be successful in the world, you have to do certain things, right? You have to study. You may have to go to college. You may have to work many hours at many jobs. You have to take time to learn your business. You have to take time to network with people, and to it takes work, right? I mean, it's not something you just sit back and garner success at. And it is that way with being a successful Christian as well. And not successful in the world's eyes, but being one who can rightfully discern the Word, who understands the Word, who can share the Word with others, who can be as that teacher you talked about in Daniel. That doesn't come from reading the Bible one time and having an experience. It doesn't. And it comes from being dedicated to the Word, being disciplined. We certainly are in the world. We have to function in the world. We have to deal with people that are in the world. But as Christians, absolutely, John, we are to be in the Word, and we are to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord and not the spirit of the world. And then if we will do that, and that certainly takes a conscious decision. It certainly means we have to believe and we have to obey, and then we have to decide and make that daily choice, fight that daily fight of faith, that today I'm gonna ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill me, and I'm gonna be in the world, but I'm not gonna be of the world.
Yeah, another scripture that brought to mind another promise or another prophecy is that Amos 8, 11 through 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, when I will send a famine into the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but a famine of the hearing of the word of the Lord. And the people shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, seek the word of the Lord, inquiring, or in requiring it, as one requires food, but shall not find it. I mean, that's something that's going to happen too. At some point, you may have put it off too long.
Amen. The word tells us to seek the Lord while you can. Work while it's still day, because there's a time coming when it won't be day anymore, and we won't be able to work. It'll be too late. That'll be the time in Revelation, we hear it in the old Johnny Cash song, that let those that are filthy be filthy still, and those that are holy be holy still. There will come a time when it's like, okay, you've done all you can, and now comes the judgment. And there'll come a time when it won't be as Hezekiah, when he had time to turn his face to the wall and cry out to the Lord. It's just that time of judgment. And we even see that here earlier in Isaiah. I had it highlighted here in Isaiah 34:8. For the Lord has a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion. And no man knows the day or the hour when that happens. So be ready.
Yeah.
Be ready. Read the word. Believe the word. Apply the word to your life.
The sad thing is most people who call themselves Christian look everywhere but the scriptures for the answers
yes.
in their lives.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Well, I guess we can open the phone lines up this morning. And the number, if you do want to call this Saturday morning, February 11th, 2017, is 307-745-5913. And we'll do our best to take your call.
Yeah, we were talking about some encouraging signs that we're seeing. One is for sure that... the headlines I think I read yesterday that we talked about was Target has halted all plans to build new super centers and essentially they've lost $10 billion with a B dollars in stock value based primarily upon the boycott of Christians who say that they will not shop in Target stores based on their bathroom policy that anyone can use any bathroom they want, and I think that's encouraging. And then I guess it also looks like Kellogg's, who took a stand against Breitbart News, which pretty much is putting the truth out there and been largely responsible for exposing the fake news of the big multi billion dollar media empire, and I guess it's just good to see that there's some people now that are finally standing behind some of these protests and some of these boycotts that hurt them with the only place that they know where is in their pocket. So,
amen. Amen. And you know, if it means that there's no more Frosted Flakes in the morning, no more Tony the Tiger, so be it. And that is what people have done. When this came up with Target, I think it was about this time last year, it seems like. Seems like it was early in the year last year, 2016, when all this started. Target had a large market share of the department store market. Places like Kmart and Sears have been on the decline, and of course Walmart's and Target's have been building what superstores and expanding for years, and they get to this position to where they didn't quietly just change their policy. They put it on the evening news. They made huge announcements. They wanted everybody to know that they were welcoming these perverts, these pedophiles, these with deranged minds and demented minds. They were welcoming them into their stores and into the changing rooms and into the restrooms. And a lot of the people in the last year have said, no, enough is enough. I know we haven't been back there. We used to shop at Target, and we haven't been back there and won't go back. They wanted to be like the tares that stand up straight and tall and proud and haughty for all to see. And they wanted to be included in that left. They wanted to be included with the goats over there to the left. They wanted to be included in that lawlessness, because that's what it is. And they have been. And their stocks are down 23% in the last year, which is about that $10 billion, like you said, of a value decrease in their company. And I think we're going to continue to see that. I think it's going to continue to go down. I hope it does.
See them fall completely.
Amen. Yeah.
Find that. One of the things that I've just noticed, you know, it seems like it's gained momentum is this them promoting this transgendered, I don't know what you call it, transgenderism. You know, I guess the movement that it is, but you know, it's all over the place. I mean, they came out and they targeted that, and there was kind of one wave. They just released or are set to release the first transgender doll that that they have, that they're coming out with for children 8 years old and older, and it marks the 40-year mark. You know, I thought when I saw that, I thought, you know, I said I didn't even know that there was any gay dolls or you know, queer dolls or anything like that, but apparently they're marketing it, and it's been 40 years since they started releasing gay and lesbian dolls. And I just found that out this week, that it was 40 years ago that's when they started doing that. Look at the effect that had over the next 40 years. And now they're coming out with these transgendered ones. And
yeah, I saw that. The other thing is they have I saw yesterday that Grammy Awards are coming up, which is nothing but a piece of trash. But anyways, they have a transgender whatever thing going to be doing the awards, leading the awards banquet too. So yeah, you know, they continue to try to shove this stuff down our throats, but the good news is that I think people are starting to wake up.
I think so too, and I think they're getting fed up with it.
Yes.
They, you know, I remember when the pastor, when he had to explain to me about what a homosexual was, and we had that talk in his office, and then, you know, it was years later, but I had to sit down and have this talk with him and tell him what a transgender was, and he didn't know.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
But, I mean, it's one of those things that it's really, they're really making that push for that. And in some countries, it's some parts of the Philippines, they say that it's over 50% of them. And I think that was where they pick out areas, they experiment on them, they figure out how to get it accepted. And, you know, those are the people that they're going to be targeting with is our children. Those are the ones, because, you know, that transgenderism is kind of like being a queer. It's not natural. It's something that, you know, they have to recruit them. And
yeah.
They got a big push for that. And that's something that, you know, I mean, it's something you don't even like talking about. But, man, I tell you what, they're putting it right in front of our face. I mean, and it's they're coming with another wave of it, and we need to be aware of it.
Yeah, I read an article just this morning that in Alaska, they're pushing children to explore different avenues of their sexuality and with different basically it's talking about transgenderism, and that's in Alaska. But
yeah, my niece,
I think, go ahead.
My niece lives in a town of or my sister-in-law up in Alaska, and she lives in a town of out in the middle of, I mean, it's not like Fairbanks or anything like that. It's out in the, a small town, and I think they've got between 600 and 700 people that live in town, and they've got, you know, probably 4,000 or 5,000 people in the outlying community that live in the general vicinity. And the she says that over 50% of the guys in that town are queers. And she said it's, I mean, she said it's, she's like, it's majority of the guys get together and they're queers in a town that small. And I didn't think it could be, and I started talking to people about it, and they said, oh, it's just an epidemic in some of those little towns in Alaska. It's just an epidemic. And, you know, they're saying that over 50% of some of these teenagers in some of these small towns are homosexuals.
Wow. That's sad.
Yeah.
Well, the good news is we've got people who are part of this body in Alaska that made sure that the new courthouse that was built there in Fairbanks was anointed and dedicated to the service of Jesus Christ. And I was talking to the wife of one of the men who anointed that courthouse, and she said, it's so cool. It's like, it's just as exciting as watching a baptism, you know, as they were sneaking around and anointing that new courthouse. And he goes, tell me why they have three courthouses in Fairbanks, Alaska, you know? And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's the enemy that, that's, you know, if you think about it, the 8 trillion or 20, 12 trillion, whatever's been added to the national debt was, really didn't benefit the people in any way. It pretty much was used to, against the American people, and whether people want to realize it or not, it was used to provide benefits and pretty much pay for the lifestyle of the illegal aliens
Yes.
that have flooded into this country. That's the bottom line. You're paying people $30,000-$40,000 a year for doing nothing. You add that up over the millions that have come into this country, and you'll see where the trillions gone.
Amen. Amen.
That's true. And that's all over the place.
Oh, it is. It's every state, every county is tied into that. It pays into that, has to pay for that. I saw one news report this week of they had some illegals that had come across the southern border, and they caught them and actually deported them, flew them back on a plane. And the Mexican president was there welcoming them back. Oh, we have jobs for you now. And it was supposed to be a big PR, public relations type thing. And it backfired on them because the people were saying, hey, they're rounding us up and sending us back. One guy says, I'm going right back. He said, I was taking $4,300 a month in, I think, Tampa, Florida. He said, I'm going back. And it just highlights the joke. The left wing, the media tries to put out that, well, if we just deport them, then everything's fine. We just send them back. They just come right back. And it didn't say that the guy was working in Tampa. He just said that's what he was making.
Yeah.
But the people are starting to see it. They are starting to see it, and they're not just being quiet about it anymore, and they're not just accepting it.
I don't know if you guys saw that story in Hungary, but there's a I think he's 45 years old mayor in a border town to Serbia that's just finally had said enough's enough, and they built a 110-mile razor fence, and they're using dirt bikes and horses and vehicles and volunteers to patrol that border, and they're basically if they catch you coming through the fence, they pretty much are beating these men and sending them back over to the other side. And what's interesting is the prime minister of Hungary has caught on to the same idea and is supporting it, and now it's it's almost countrywide that they're rejecting the European Union's demands that they accept these migrants. And one thing I thought was really interesting was, I think it was the Prime Minister who said, he basically told the truth, and he said, well, if you look at it, the only place that these migrants are coming, the only place that these Muslims are invading, are the predominantly white countries. And, of course, you got all kinds of flack for that. But I just think it's neat because they've banned them. They cannot build mosques in Hungary. There's just a series of things that they've done. And, in fact, of 180,000 migrants that tried to get into Hungary, only 16, they only admitted 16. And now they're starting to build detention camps for them, and they're going to basically give due process before they'll allow them into the country. But what's really irritating them is they say hundreds of thousands building up in Syria. They're wanting to get into Europe because of that idiot Merkel who said they're all welcome, but even I read yesterday that she's starting to pay them if they'll go back to their own country. She doesn't want to be publicly proclaimed as have made a huge mistake, you know. Well, it's not a mistake, it's by design, but
it is.
So now she's trying to pay them to if they'll go back to their own country. But what you can see, though, throughout Europe is there's people like Donald Trump that they're raising up that don't have the liberal views, who don't follow the European Union, and they're scared because the people are supporting these people in droves compared to the stinking liberals that have always run the countries.
Yes. It's similar to what we saw here in the last election. The what they call evangelical Christians finally got up and voted. Those on the right that were fed up with at least eight years of lies of hope and change, and saw that the hope was a false hope, and the change was all they had left in their pockets after they'd been raided and stolen from, and it wasn't the kind of hope and change that the majority of the American people want, and they spoke up, and it is, we've talked about a new spirit in the land. It's not complete. It's not over. It's not finished. Donald Trump is not the Savior. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it sure seems like there's more people speaking his name. There's more people that are acknowledging him. There's more people doing homage to the Son, as the scripture says. And that's a capital S-O-N, Son, not a small S-U-N, Son. And it is. There's a different spirit. I think what we saw this, 2 weeks ago with the Starbucks CEO, I think is a good example of that change. Last year, if Charles Schulz, the CEO of Starbucks, would have come out and said, you know, we are expanding, we're growing, and we're working with the administration, and we're going to put 10,000 of these new refugees, we're going to find them jobs, and on and on and on. Last year, that would have been accepted. That would have been praised. More and more people would have flocked to Starbucks and said, oh, yes, we want to help. But it's different this year. And so when he comes out a couple weeks ago and says, well, we're going to hire 10,000 refugees, all of a sudden, it's like when Target came out last year. Now there's a huge boycott of Starbucks going on that we would not have seen last year. And then you have companies that have come up, and smaller coffee companies that have come up and said, hey, tell you what, guys, we're not hiring refugees, but we're going to hire 10,000 veterans that need jobs this next year. And those type coffee companies are promoted, Christian or not, but those are promoted, whereas when you have this, and this Starbucks is about as New World Order and ungodly as you can get anyway, but it's just a change. And we see that. And this Starbucks, I wouldn't be surprised if before long we see the same kind of numbers that we're seeing at Target. A decline in value, a decline, an increase in losses for them, as with Starbucks. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let me see if I can get the buttons pushed. We'll see if we can take a caller. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Richard, this is Davey.
Good morning. I'm sorry?
This is Texas. Can you hear me?
It's kind of a rough connection there. David in Texas, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention three things. F&I, pure language. Here's the so-called new president got in about booming.
Hey, David, I'm only getting about every other word. If you have a different phone, you can give me a call in on or maybe just try to call back because it's just dropping out only about every other word. But, David, if you want to try to give us a call back, that'd be great. Well, folks, the number is 307-745-5913. And anyway, it just seems like the people, like you said, John, they're waking up. They're not just sitting back. And it's not just because of the election. I think we saw it with Target last year. Some of the people just said, fine, enough's enough. If you're going to do this, I'm not going to spend my money there. And I know you've talked to people. We've talked to people at the church. We've talked to people on the phone, family and relatives. And ask them, why do you support Target? Do you know what Target is allowing and what they really are reaching out and saying that they accept and that they want in their stores? And then you as a parent would take your children there or go there and support them yourself? And I think it's the same way with Starbucks.
Yeah.
And there's plenty, there are many. There are many companies that are that way out there. That are out there, and if you find out that's what they are, don't support them. Or if you find out that there is a Christian company, or you find a company that's offering things that are made in the USA versus made in the Philippines or India or China, well, it's your choice whether you're going to buy that stuff and support made in the USA or not. And it's your choice whether you're going to support companies that blatantly stand up and want to be associated with the sin that is in the land and with the ungodly.
Yeah, I think I did some research here right after that travel ban was enacted and the left went ballistic, and a lot of universities were really big at speaking out on it, and I figured out why. There's something called Dharma, I think it is. That, you know, all these things we don't know that were done with the Abomination administration. But basically what it's done is it's giving undocumented students, right, which is illegal students, in-state tuition in all of these universities across the whole country.
Yes.
So if you wonder why the climate has changed in the universities as you drive through them or drive around them or if you're going to them or whatever, that's a big reason.
Yes, it is.
And they are flat out scared that this administration may put an end to that Dharma. I mean, it's got so bad at the university here in Colorado that, you know, there's so many Muslims here that they got buildings that are set specifically for them. One they built, and then they've had to build a completely separate halal kitchen just to be able to meet their needs to feed them.
Yes,
I mean that's how bad it's got. And you know, I got news for you. That was all paid for with federal money. There's some more of your trillions of dollars of deficit.
Amen. Well, guys, let's try this phone line again, see if it's going to work any better for us. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Can you hear me better now?
I can hear you better now, yes.
Oh, right. I had three things. Briefly, in light of Zephaniah 3:9, which says about a pure language, you know, we hear a lot about Muslims and illegal aliens. I'd just like to point out that, you know, when they had that Roe v. Wade decision back in 74 that said murdering babies was legal in America, the question arises how many Islamic theologians were on the synagogue of Satan Supreme Court doing that legal reasoning for the American people that came down with that decision. You know, and recently, we've also had the Supreme Court decision by the Synagogue of Satan psychophants that says sodomites can engage in holy matrimony. Well, does Almighty hold those people in derision that, you know, agree with that so-called legal reasoning and state-sponsored terroristic authority? You know, that's just kind of like in-your-face American people right there. But the larger issue there is what kind of economic damage have these legal aliens caused this country? I mean, is it $20 trillion, $100 trillion, $300 trillion? How much has it really cost the American people who are actually descended from the tribes of the children of Israel in the last 100 years? And how many people have been murdered worldwide at the instigation of these Jesus-hating terrorists who have a bad faith religion that's based on a lie? You know, I mean, that's where we are today. And like you say, you know, the American people are slowly, you know, the final point is the leaders, Richard, because, you know, in reality, and it was great the hour before this show comes on 5830 on shortwave, Pastor Peters delivered a message that was basically about holy racism. And people need to get their minds around the fact that those that can distinguish between the holy and the profane and the unclean from the clean, those are the leaders of our kingdom, where our king is telling us, know the truth and do the right thing and execute righteous judgment. And that's what the sword of truth. So carry on, gentlemen. Have a great day.
All right, David, thank you.
Thank you. Amen.
You know, David, you make a good point there. You talk about discernment, those people that can tell holy from unholy and right from wrong. And we're working on newsletter volume 2 right now, and there's an article in there regarding that discernment, that holy discernment, and what it is and how you get it and what you have to do for it. And it's not Amazon Prime that you have that brings discernment, that brings biblical discernment. It's not. So we encourage you to, we'll have that. Hopefully we'll have that at the, we'll start printing that next week, and we'll have that article out to you. I think it ties right into that, and that sure seems like that call from David, a double witness to the need for that. And the other thought that occurred to me with David's comments are that, you know, our people need to learn to walk before they can run. We have to learn to crawl before we can even walk. They have to be able to understand and at least not gag on the milk of the word. And so many, because they are tied in with these Judeo-Christian churches that put Judaism before Christ, which is blasphemy, that our people aren't even used to the milk of the word. When I say our people, the people in this land that call themselves Christians, that are neck deep in this Judeo-Christianity, that think it's okay to allow sin in the church and have sin in the land. And you know, right here, just here in Laramie, I was talking with someone about it last week. Just here in Laramie, in the last couple of years, I have heard, because I've had neighbors tell me, of churches that they've gone to that have had two church splits. And it was over the acceptance of homosexuality, practicing homosexuals in the church. And they get so confused over loving the sinner and hating the sin. And well, we're told to love our neighbor. And how are they going to learn the word of God if we don't allow them in here? And we don't, and blah, 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 blah. They gag on the milk of the word. But anyway, they've had two church splits here in little old Laramie over the last couple of years over that very thing. And until the people, when they start to at least have their eyes opened to what Target's doing, to what Starbucks is doing, and we can, you know, maybe we can reach him with things like that to make him see. So you're supporting a you know, companies that that support illegal invasion. You're supporting companies that want your children to be molested, that are providing opportunities for that. And if we can get through that thick fog, that spell that seems to be over the land, and I think we are getting through to the people, and they can start to see that, well, that shines a little light. Then you move that flashlight, you shine that little bit of light back to the scripture, back to the word, to show the people. Well, right there in Corinthians, you know, you're not to be this way. And we're not to allow this. It's not pleasing to God. And then it continues on from there. And yes, the people eventually, and they will, see about the illegal aliens that come in from the south and come in from the north and come in from the east and come over from the west. But I think they've got to be able to see that first before they can see who the real alien is, who the real those that are so pompous and wrong that they put their Judeo name before Christianity, even in the churches here in this land. We have a pamphlet.
Yeah, big thing that wakes people up, I think, and I've been saying it quite a bit lately. I said, you know, God, what does Revelation say? That, oh, that you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I spew you out. And they start thinking, and I say, God's done with lukewarm, and he's done with churches of Laodicea. And they say, well, what do you mean? And I said, the churches have become accepted and tolerant of sin under the guise of grace, and God is no longer going to tolerate that.
Yes.
You know, we have a reprieve right now. We have 4 years, maybe eight, who knows. But the bottom line is, if the churches don't come to order, God's calling his churches and his people to order. And that order is an order that most people will reject. But that's just the way it is. And if we don't get it right in the next 4 to 8 years, then the next Antichrist liberal that will be put in position will make Hillary Clinton look like a choir girl. That's the bottom line.
Amen.
And you got people starting to think, you know. They'll actually, you know, that, yeah, that makes sense. And they're like, well, just like you said, well, how are we supposed to reach them if we don't allow them in our midst, this and that? And I said, well, if you love them, you would tell them that this sin will cause you to go to hell. You know, that's part of the problem. Nobody even talks about hell anymore. That it's a hell of a place, and it's some place that you don't want to go.
Amen.
And it's not just going to be you're burned up and that's it. No, it's torment over and yes. over and over. And that's what people don't understand is this, you know, it almost makes me cry sometimes when you talk to some people who don't know the Lord and they say, well, I'd rather go to hell because that's where all my friends are going to be. And I just say, do you realize what you just said?
Yeah.
Do you have any idea what you just said? You don't. Because if you did, there is no way that you would say that.
Amen.
Well, what do you mean? And I said, what do you mean, what do I mean? So, yeah, it's just...
We read about it in Isaiah. Isaiah 28, verse 15 says, because you have said, we have made a covenant with death. And you tell me that's not what the people in this land have done today. The people have been tricked. They have been brainwashed. They have been put under this spell because they don't have that Holy Spirit. They don't have that Spirit of the Lord you talked about earlier in the broadcast, John. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol we have made a pact. And so they go on and say, the overwhelming scourge will not reach us when it passes by. For we have made falsehood our refuge and have concealed ourselves with deception. And that is where the people are today. They believe that lie. And John, that lie that you just mentioned is so prevalent in the land. Well, I'll just go to hell and be with my buddies there. No, that's an eternity apart from Christ. It is not a place you want to be. It's not.
Yeah.
It is not. Whatever you think it is, whatever your interpretation of the Bible says it is, as Pastor used to say, it's a hell of a place. It is not as John says, as Jesus says in John, where Jesus Christ says, I go to prepare a place for you, and in my Father's house are many mansions. And if it were not so, I would not have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you so that when I come again, I will take you there with me. That's not Sheol. That's not hell. And, but we see that. Again, folks, an important thing to be reading your Bible about, because you see this very thing. The people today, so many of them have made a covenant with death. You look at clothing today, the clothing lines that are coming out, and so much of it is skulls and crossbones and on everything. It is that covenant of death. And you read, we got that article coming out on discernment, and it is that spirit of the world, which is of the father of lies, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. You want to get ahead in the world? If you have to steal to do it. If you have to destroy others to get ahead, you do that. Even if you have to kill, you just do that to get ahead. That's the spirit of the world. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. That's the spirit of the father of lies. Versus Christ, who said, I came to bring life and life abundant. Abundant life. Abundant life is not a covenant with death. It's a covenant with life.
Yeah, I've been lately reviewing a bunch of prints for new buildings and stuff, and you get somewhat furious as you look on these prints and you see these all-gender restrooms. And fortunately for now, at least in this state, that's a separate bathroom, and it has an all-gender restroom sign with the woman with the skirt and then the man and then whatever the thing with the half a skirt. But, you know, there's a bill right now, I think, in New York City that they're trying to pass where bathroom gender neutral, you know, just like they tried to in North Carolina. And as far as I know, that's still being upheld, which we need to keep that in our prayers as well and pray for protection for those that are willing to stand up against these stinking perverts. They're saying that data suggests that unisex bathrooms are a bonanza to male perverts. And there's studies that prove that that's the case. So, these are just, it's just another attack of the enemy upon the Christian morals. That's the reality of it.
And John, as you mentioned earlier, God's had enough of lukewarm. He's had enough of the people sitting back and saying, oh, well, that just shouldn't be. Martha, what's on TV today? Where's my beer? God's had enough of that. He's had enough of that.
Well, he's had enough of preachers that are tickling people's ears, too. He's saying, all right, I gave you the word, and I'll preach it.
Yes. Well, again, Isaiah 29:10, for the Lord has poured over you a spirit of deep sleep. It's time to be, as we read a little bit later, we'll read the next time we come back to Isaiah, awake, awake. It's time to wake up. It's time to wake up. Well, folks, we're doing the best we can to wake people up. We are praying for God's guidance. We are being led by the Holy Spirit to wake people up, to further the gospel, to keep the broadcasts going 24 hours a day. 7 days a week, to continue to send CDs and DVDs out to awaken the remnant, to encourage the remnant to love and good deeds, to hopefully equip them, equip you, to be able to share these truths with your friends, with your family, to be able to build you up, to encourage you, to help you get over just that milk and get into more of the meat of the word. And we do that with the support of the remnant. We do that with, well, at times with fear and trembling. But we continue on. And we are persevering here. We are enduring here at the ministry and continuing on. And we will do the same thing today, the good Lord willing. John?
The good news is when our obedience is complete, the Bible is clear that he will punish the disobedience of those that hate him and hate his people. And
Amen.
That's part of the order. But we can't bring these people before the court of the Lord Jesus Christ unless our lives are right, unless our lives are in proper order, unless the church is in the proper order. All of these things have to be set in place before we have the right to bring these people before the court.
Absolutely. You see, when we read,
ask for judgment.
When we read earlier about Hezekiah being healed in our Bible reading plan for today in Isaiah, Isaiah said, where is it at? Remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. So, can we do that? Can we do that? If we were struck today, as Hezekiah was struck, mortally ill, could we do that? Could we turn our face and pray to the Lord and say, remember now, O Lord, I beseech you, how I have walked before you in truth and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight? And if we can do that, then good. That is a good thing. That is a good place to be. That is where you want to be. That's not the end, but that's a good place to be. And you know, if we're not there...
Oh, we got out of Job. What a great example there.
Yes.
Job.
And so if we're not there, we'll get there. Repent. Return to God. Return to Him. Reading your Bibles one way. Another way you can be on the road to returning to Him is join us for church tomorrow. And we're running out of time today. We'll do that. Join us for church. Hey, we're doing an early thing where we're trying to get the broadcast out a couple of times. And we're going to start out in the morning, good Lord willing. Supposed to have a little snow today, but I don't think the roads are going to close. So 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 on the East Coast, you can join us for a live scriptural review of the news. And then at 9, 10, and 11 o'clock Eastern, or Mountain Central and Eastern, we'll have a Holy Spirit-inspired message. We're in the middle of this Jezebel series, which is much needed today. It is truth. It is truth that is needed today in February 2017 here in America. And so we're doing our best to get that truth out to you again. And then 10 o'clock, we'll have a live service, 10 o'clock Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. We'll have a live service for you, and then we'll come back the next hour with the pastor's message on Jezebel again. And so we encourage you, we invite you to join us there. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. That's our website. Just click on the live video stream, and we'll have it for you there. Well, men, God's blessings on you today. Thank you. Remnant, we thank you for joining us. Most important of all, we thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here and guiding and directing us. And we'll see you at church tomorrow, guys.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old stakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting at the end of our ride. Moving,
moving, moving, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, barking will be waiting.